Hey, you guys. It's time once again for Flickers of Fear, my movie review show. So, since I mentioned on a recent video, I don't know which one it was, that I'd actually been trying to watch some of the newer films that have recently been added to Shudder because they've been adding a lot of stuff. Like, they add old stuff too, but they added a bunch of new movies and I'd kind of gotten behind on them. So, I think I mentioned that on a video before, and I was very happy to get a recommendation from someone who was listening. And they told me that I should watch the 2022 film Speak No Evil, which actually premiered earlier this year. I think it was in January of 2022 at Sundance. Now, I will note that although the movie is Danish, it's a Danish production, most of the movie is in English. It's not dubbed or anything. The characters are actually speaking English. There is some Danish and some Dutch in there, but it's almost all of it is in English. Now, while I will say that I really, really liked this movie, it's definitely not for everybody. I know nothing is, but you know, I just like to put that out there. I know it's kind of a cliche to say slow burn, but it is a kind of a slow burn. It doesn't really go full on horror until the third act. It's kind of more of a psychological thriller up to that point. And another thing that I saw, another very common criticism that I saw, because some people that I saw like really, really hated it, they said that mostly their kind of their dislike of it stemmed from their frustration by the actions or, you know, lack of action by certain characters. But that actually didn't bother me in the slightest. I can see why it would, but it didn't really bother me. I actually found this movie just sickeningly anxiety-inducing. And actually, it was one that the whole time I was watching it, I was like sitting there going, how would I react? Like, if I was put into the same situation as the protagonist, at what point would I say enough? You know what I mean? And I kind of feel like that's one of the cool things about this movie is that you can sort of put yourself into the character's shoes and be like, oh, well, I would have done this differently. I would have done that, or I might have done that as well. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. So the movie, I kind of feel like it essentially like gaslights the audience like a little bit. It kind of makes you, it's very squirm inducing also, because it's kind of one of those movies that makes you like, you're watching characters like insidiously crossing other characters' boundaries, but not necessarily in a way that would cause the average person to like flee in terror or be like, oh no, hell no, you know what I mean? Like, at least initially. It's kind of like, I saw another reviewer, I think it was Spooky Astronauts, and she brought up the movie. She's like, it's nothing like this one, but in a way, it kind of is. She brought up the movie Compliance, which was actually based on a true story, because, I mean, thematically, it's kind of similar, but it's in tonally, it's not the same at all, but thematically, it's kind of similar. Now, I will say that this movie is not a fun watch at all. It goes to some pretty bleak places at the end. So if you're really not in the mood to watch something like kind of depressing and you know, maybe even outright soul killing, like depending on your point of view, then maybe you might want to give this one a pass. It's not a fun time, and I'm going to say that right now. So this was directed by a fella named Christian Taftrup, and I'm sure I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, so I apologize. It was co-written by him and his brother Mads. Now, the movie's most obvious comparison, I think every review that I watched or read of this brought up Michael Haneke's Funny Games. So it's kind of along the same lines as that. But more generally, it's just, this movie is just like a really good entry into that, you know, kind of not actually as small as I was thinking, but it's this kind of psychological horror subgenre that is sort of like social horror in a way. It's kind of exploring the lengths that people will go to in order to be polite and to avoid causing conflict or embarrassment, like to other people, and how much we're willing to put up with, like in order to accommodate others. So, in that way, I don't want to go too far in this direction, but slightly, this movie kind of almost plays like an extremely dark, like cringe comedy at times, because most of it's like very, very awkward. But, also, it has this really, really steadily escalating, you know, steadily escalating tension throughout the whole movie that even if you kind of like laugh at some of the situations, like it'll just be like a really, really awkward, uneasy kind of laugh because you just know that something bad is going on, but you don't know exactly what it is and you don't know like when it's coming. So it's just kind of like I said, it's just kind of gives you this like really, really bad feeling like in the pit of your stomach, like pretty much from the first, you know, frame. So at the beginning of the story, we meet a Danish family. The dad's name is Bjorn, the mom's name is Louise or Louisa, and the daughter's name is Agnes or Agnes, as they would say over there. And they're on a vacation in Tuscany, in Italy. Now, not too long into their holiday, they meet this very, very friendly Dutch family who it looks like is staying at the same hotel or resort as they are. So this Dutch family, the dad's name is Patrick, the mom's name is Karen, and they have this really, really shy son named Abel or Abel. And he doesn't really talk all that much. Patrick actually explains later on that he has some congenital deformity. Like, he didn't have, like, he was born without a tongue or with, like, a really small tongue. So he can't really talk all that much. Or when he talks, like, you can't really understand what he's saying. Now, from the jump, it's pretty clear that from the way that the families, and specifically the men, interact, and this is actually really, really beautifully and subtly portrayed through just kind of random bits of seemingly trivial dialogue, like body language and like significant glances and things like that. But you can tell that Bjorn sees in Patrick the kind of man that he would like to be. So Bjorn, the character, is kind of like a passive guy. He very much clearly loves his wife and family, but he sort of maybe low-key laments the lack of passion and excitement in his life. He's always kind of like been one of those guys that followed the rules. He's always done what he was supposed to do, what was expected of him, and has kind of hence come to this place in his life where he sort of feels like unfulfilled, as though he's become like just some guy who ended up in this like really humdrum existence through his own like lack of assertiveness. Like, he's never been able to like jump up and like grab life by the balls or anything like that. And so he's just sort of like ended up here through no will of his own, or because he didn't have enough will going forward. And Patrick, the Dutch guy, by contrast, is actually this really, really very, very vibrantly masculine. He's very, like, outgoing and very gregarious, and he's just kind of like one of those real gruff, like, friendly, open, you know what I mean? And he's always kind of, like, talking to everybody and making everybody laugh and stuff like that. And the way that he is, you can see that Bjorn obviously, like, really admires him and really, like, aspires to be that way, even though he's not. So, and you can even see, like, Bjorn, he visibly, like, kind of inflates and, like, stands taller after Patrick calls him heroic for going back. Like, Bjorn goes back to, like, his daughter, like, loses her little stuffed bunny that she loves, and he goes back and like goes through the streets and finds it for her, and he calls her heroic, and he's like, no, I'm serious. And that actually, the whole bunny thing, like, foreshadows like some kind of more sinister shit that happens later on. But from that interaction, which happens like early on when they're still in Tuscany, you immediately understand that Patrick is maybe buttering Bjorn up for some unknown purpose. So the families have a really pleasant vacation, you know, hanging out with one another, going out to dinner together, blah, blah, blah. And then they go back to their respective countries. Now, sometime later, it's not real clear how long it is, but Bjorn and Louise get a postcard from the Dutch couple, and it's inviting them to come spend the weekend with them, like, in their house, in this sort of, like, remote countryside of the southern Netherlands. Now, Louise is kind of, I guess, like, understandably reluctant. She's like, look, Patrick and Karen, we barely know them. It's just, like, we hung out with them, like, a few days, like, on vacation. They're practically strangers to us. But it's pretty evident that Bjorn really, really wants to go. Also, I kind of feel like they knew what would get them to come there, too, because the postcard also says, oh, little Abel, their little son, he really, really wants to see Agnes again, you know, their daughter. And that kind of gives Bjorn all the justification he needs. Oh, that poor kid, like, he misses our daughter. How can we, like, deny, you know what I mean? So it's that kind of thing. So they set out on the 8-hour drive. Like, you know, Louise is trying to be like, yeah, but we already, like, spent all this money, like, on flights this year and blah, blah, blah. He's like, we'll drive. It's only 8 hours, blah, blah, blah. So they end up, like, driving there. So everything seems mostly fine at first. Patrick and Karen seem like very genial hosts, and they have kind of, their house, like I said, is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of like a little bit, it's big, but it's kind of like shabbier, but it's like kind of comfortable. Like, you can tell it's like very, very lived in, which is kind of in contrast to the Danish couple's like very, very well appointed, like very, very nice kind of clean area. You know what I mean? But right from the start, as you might imagine, lots of very, very small and seemingly inconsequential occurrences slowly begin to sour the experience for the Danes. Now, one of the things is that Patrick apparently forgot that Louise was a vegetarian, which she did actually tell him, and they had a discussion about while they were on vacation. And so Patrick seems to be making a point of, like, cooking really meat-heavy dishes and very insistently, like, cajoling her into tasting them. And it's like, you can tell she's like, no, that's okay. I'm a vegetarian. He's like, oh, well, you know, you can just this one bite, you know what I mean? And finally, she just, like, gives in because he just keeps you know, at her, you know what I mean? Not in a mean way, but just, you know how that goes. Like when you go to somebody's house and they're like, oh, I made this, you know, cake or something like that. And you're like, look, I really don't want any. And it's just like, they just keep at you and keep at you. You're like, fine. Okay. Just like, leave me the fuck alone. Because most people don't want to just like, fuck off. I don't want any. You know what I mean? Even though maybe you should, which is something that this movie actually absolutely explores. Another thing too, is that Patrick and Karen have set Agnes, the daughter, up on this little bitty air mattress, like in the same room as their son, Abel, which they think is a little bit weird, and they're like, well, you didn't even ask us like how it is set up, and it's just like stuff like that. Also, they don't seem to have, Patrick and Karen don't seem to have like any kind of your normal like social boundaries or like propriety. Like they'll walk into the bathroom to pee like while you're in the shower, like that kind of shit, like without even like looking at you like, oh, whatever, like it's the most normal thing in the world. So, you know, it's a little bit weird. And then a bit later on, like Patrick and Karen invite the Danish couple out to a restaurant, but they don't tell them until they're literally like walking out the door that, oh, the kids aren't coming with us, like, because they assumed that the daughter was coming with them too. But yeah, it's like, oh, no kids tonight, you know what I mean? And they're being left with this babysitter who Bjorn and Louise have obviously never met before, who's another stranger to them. And then while they're at the restaurant, like they go along with that, even though they're not happy about it. And then when they're at the restaurant, like Patrick and Karen kind of get like really drunk and they start like, you know, dancing when it was like really, really provocatively and like kind of like, you know, in a get a room kind of way, which makes the other couple like really, really uncomfortable. And they also very subtly like manipulate Bjorn into paying the not insubstantial check, which he's like, ooh, somebody had a good time. And he's like, oh, so we're paying it. He's like, oh, thanks, man. It was that kind of thing. Patrick also drives home drunk, like weaving all over the road, which is thankfully deserted at that time of night, blaring the radio like at top volume, even though Louise is like, hey, can you turn the fucking music down, it's like blasting our ears out, shit like that. Now Louise, in fact, grows tired of the Dutch couple pretty quickly, and I can totally see why, because this would not be a fun time. Now she makes it very clear to her husband Bjorn that she would like to leave. Now Bjorn does not really want to go, because he kind of like feels, like I said, he feels very invigorated by Patrick in this unabashed like machismo that he has. But he eventually is like, okay, maybe you're right. So they kind of sneak out, but then they kind of get busted. And then like the couple, like Patrick and Karen, when they're confronted about it, they're like, oh my God, we can't believe like you guys would just like leave without saying goodbye. But then like Louise starts telling them like all these things. But when she kind of lists it, it sounds like so, so insignificant, like all the stuff that she's complaining about. And then Patrick and Karen are like, oh my God, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. So, and they have like an explanation for every single grievance that the other couple have brought up. And then they even kind of like flip it a little bit, like very craftily, and like play the victim card. They're like, oh, well, maybe it's just like a cultural misunderstanding, like you Danes, you know, and your thing and whatever, and like the Dutch do it like this and blah, blah, blah. And you, maybe you guys are just kind of uptight or whatever. So through all of this kind of like duplicitous shit, they are actually able to convince Bjorn and Louise to stay for the rest of the weekend simply by exploiting their disinclination to be rude to people who have, you know, supposedly been so friendly and generous, like opening up their home to them and like cooking for them and stuff like that. So from there, as you might expect, things take a very, very, very dark turn. And trust me when I say the ending of this movie is like pretty fucking grim. Now, while the character of Bjorn in particular is very frustrating, and I get that, I mean, there's a bunch of points in the story where he absolutely should have like nutted up and put his foot down rather than going along with situations that were clearly going south. He's also not all that unrealistic, I didn't find. And to be honest, his passivity is actually like a big part of the theme or the message of the movie, if you want to call it that, which is actually kind of like a, like almost like a really, really dark satire on excessive politeness and how it can absolutely get you into real trouble if you don't know like when or how you need to like stand up for yourself. From what I could gather, this was like really interesting to me. I read some comments from people who had seen it who were actually Danish. According to them, like the particular choice of making the Danish couple like super bourgeois and like unwilling to rock the boat and very uptight, and kind of then pitting them against the very stereotypically more open and convivial like Dutch couple, which I guess, like I said, they're cultural stereotypes that it's sort of skewering a little bit. It kind of like gave the movie for them like a a real particular like cultural resonance, I guess, and a lot of like cruel humor. I think they found it a lot funnier than Americans did because they could relate like to the cultural stereotypes that were being satirized. I mean, obviously I can't really speak to that since I am neither Danish nor Dutch, but however, I am kind of like a laid back sort of introverted person who also really dislikes confrontation. So I could actually completely relate to the Danes' predicament. Although I will say that I like to think that I would have noped out like way earlier than they did, but on the other hand, I can understand like how they ended up staying as long as they did and how it ended up going. But that's the thing. That's the hell of it. And that's why I'm still thinking about this fucking movie, is that do any of us really know like how much of this we would take unless we were actually like confronted with these exact circumstances? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where, you know, when I saw on Spooky Astronauts channel where she compared this a little bit to compliance. If you've seen that, and I don't want to go into that because that's like a whole other review, but it's a similar kind of thing where it's like a frog in boiling water. It's like at first, like the requests that people are making or the things that people are doing don't seem all that bad or that egregious, but then like it slowly like ramps up and then suddenly you're like, how the fuck did I get in this situation? Just because you let the guy like get away with all this kind of stuff, and then he just kept like upping the ante, you know what I mean? So as I mentioned, Speak No Evil is technically more of a psychological thriller, at least for the first two acts. But it does go to some very disturbing places toward the end, so don't watch this if you're in the mood for just, like, a bloody good time that you don't can just turn off your brain, because if you do that, like, this movie will probably just make you, like, really angry and bummed out. So I am saying that. So, like I said, while it does kind of skewer the character of Bjorn, in particular for him being so, like, docile and kind of, like, gets on him for his responsibility, like to what extent is he responsible for the horrors that ultimately unfold, it's not just picking on him though, it's also indicting the Dutch characters, who while on the surface like seem more admirable because they're extroverted and more sociable and things like that, but that, you know, this veneer also like masks this real like depravity and this real evil that's like lurking beneath. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of skewering both things. Like I said, it's a satire, but it's not funny, but I don't know. That might depend on your perspective. Like I said, if it's humorous, it's like super, super, super black humor. You know what I mean? I would recommend this, but really only to fans of very restrained, but very bleak psychological horror. If you're a fan of more kind of like overt horror, more traditional horror, you'd probably find it, you know, too slow or too frustrating, too maddening. It's like, why is this guy doing more? Why, you know, why are they still there? Why is this that? But like I said, that's kind of the whole point of the film, is it's exploring people's boundaries and like how, you know, how much would it take to like push them, and how would you get into this kind of situation as well, just through your own like wish to not rock the boat. Like I said, that's kind of like what the movie is exploring. So that's why the characters are like that. And as I said, this is definitely a movie that I'm going to be thinking about for a while, just because of the shit that happened and kind of like wondering about myself and like, what if I was in this situation? Like, you know, what I like to think that I wouldn't have gone that far, but it's like, I don't know. As you know, I've never been in a situation like this really, but yeah, it's one of those ones that really kind of makes you think afterward. So this is actually on Shudder. You can probably find it on other streaming services as well. I think I saw it for rent on Amazon Prime as well, but I watched it on Shudder, and it's just got added there not too long ago. So check it out if it sounded at all interesting to you, and that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys again on the next one. Bye.